Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back to Faking Movies, everybody. This is episode 66.
Execute Order 66.
Uh-huh.
God damn it.
This is the one joke we didn't
I knew
make.
You were going to say something. Yeah. I knew you were going to say something.
Well, yeah, I kind of had to say that, right?
I know, that's true. We're the only podcast that thinks that The Phantom Menace is the best Star Wars movie ever. So, you know.
I don't know.
Don't put my hat in that ring.
Yeah, don't my words in your mouth. Or whatever. God damn, dude.
Anyway, my name is Lee, obviously. I'm joined with my dear friends, Zach. What's up, Zach?
How's it going?
Pretty good. And of course our resident fucking jester, Seth over here. What's up, Seth?
Good. Seamless.
I was gonna do it.
I was gonna do it too.
Yeah, well, I'm good. I'm once again amongst the living. I paid off Charon with a pad of lube and once again crossed the River Doze to return to the land of the living.
As is customary.
Yes, to ferry you across the River Doze, as the legends tell. you and Orpheus gliding over just the like nubs of various dildos.
Yep.
Everybody jumps in the boat and slips. Is that the visual?
Yep. Well, and it's water soluble too, so like it's harder to get off, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. Or whatever word would make it harder to get off, I don't know. Insoluble? I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be silicon based, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, probably silicon based.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, anyway,
loop corner.
Before we get started, I wanted to just give out a quick apology both to our listeners and to Zach for last episode, where I was clinking ice in my drink so frequently that it had to be on purpose, and I honestly do not remember doing it. So I have taken some precautions against that. I'm going homeopathic this week, so I made myself a Mai Tai, which is... full of crushed ice and a metal straw, so like, you know, we're going for the opposite. It's gonna clink so much that it'll just become a new sound.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, it's
gonna drink out of a maraca or something. This seems great. Yeah, fucking
yeah,
perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Seems like a good plan. Good plan.
Cool. Oh, all right.
So what are we doing this week?
Yeah, Seth. Oh. What you got, boyo?
Okay, so you guys gave me Angel Heart, starring a young and handsome Mickey Rourke.
Correct.
So I learned.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Robert D. Niro and Lisa Bonet and Charlotte Rampling.
Mm-hmm. And may I just say, Mickey Rourke is upsettingly gorgeous in this movie.
that plays into my plot, actually.
Oh,
so
good.
It's good. It's good. I kind of incorporated that when I was writing this a half hour ago.
Yep.
As you do. As you do.
Yep. Cool. So, y'all ready for my version of Angel Heart?
Absolutely.
Sure. Yep. Angel Heart
is a
dildo.
I'm
going to
make a quick prediction.
Whoa.
No, it's not. That's not it. But, you know.
Okay. Thought I do want to make a quick prediction. This is a side bet for me and Zach. Zach?
Mm-hmm.
I'm predicting that Seth, in his faked movie, accidentally makes the real movie.
Oh.
This is one of those, like, better chance at that than not movies, I would say, maybe.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I don't know. I think my... Oh, okay, well, whatever. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I was originally going to try to break this up into some weird fucking words, like...
Yeah.
It was going to be like, Hia route, and there was going to be an angel on Hia route, but I abandoned that pretty quick because, I don't know, my brain's not 100% yet, but I am back. Back. So.
Well, you could have had, like, an gel, as in, like, you know.
Yeah, that's heart, not that's not how your, articles yeah, that's not how your, articles work. So
it's like an gel, comma, heart, and it's about a lube named heart.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, or it's about a person who doesn't understand how articles work when they precede a word that starts with a vowel.
When has that ever stopped us, ever? Let's be honest.
Okay, I'm just saying that you don't say an consonant word.
Well, I know, but like, let's pretend that,
history,
like,
if you're a piece of shit.
Let's
pretend that, like, your main character has, like, a charming regional dialect, and that's part of it.
That would have been fun. But no, that's not what I did. So, Charlotte plays a middle-aged to older woman who works at a soup kitchen or some garbage. I don't really care. And suddenly, Mickey Rourke shows up on her doorstep or whatever, and he's, you know, beautiful and cherubic, and he's a stone Adonis in flesh.
So far, so good. Well, that's maybe kind of, those are sort of both versions of Mickey and rolled into one, I would say.
Yeah, as opposed to a flesh Adonis in stone, but he's a stone Adonis in flesh.
Or a human foot wrapped up in blonde highlights.
That's the
one, yeah.
Yeah, some real Rodan shit.
not bad. Oh, not bad.
Very good.
Anyway, Mickey shows up with Lisa Bonet and in tow, and they say, like, oh, we need help. And Lisa Bonet doesn't really talk. She seems to be in trouble, and Mickey is very, very protective of her. Of course, Charlotte takes them in and clothes them and feeds them and, you know, all that, you know, goody-goody shit.
Yep.
But Mickey is charming and incorrigible, and Lisa is mostly quiet, and she has a wary eye on everyone and doesn't say much, but eventually Robert De Niro shows up, and he says he's looking for Lisa. He's looking all dapper and shit, in a fine suit, and a hat, and a cane,
Interesting.
Yep. And he says that she needs to come with him, and insisting that she needs to leave the premises immediately. Mickey's being all charming and shit, and chats up Robert De Niro and distracts him enough so that Lisa and Charlotte can escape into the streets. Mickey punches Robert, and they have, like, a young man versus middle-age old man fist fight. Building, of course, that they're in somehow catches fire, like a lamp is pushed over, you know, whatever cliche.
Sure.
Mickey catches up with Charlotte and Lisa, he's all scuffed up, but he's still beautiful. And, you know...
Does he have any, like, cuts on his face? Or, like...
Not yet.
Mild injuries?
Not yet.
No. Nope.
Not yet. Ooh.
What? All right. Oh. They see Robert stumble out of the fire, and they can see some kind of, like, odd-colored light coming out of what appears to be a wound on his body. Like, his arm is all fucked up, and there's some kind of supernatural light.
Okay.
Girl, please.
So, during the middle part of this movie is primarily a series of vignettes where Mickey and Lisa and Charlotte are all running away from Robert De Niro, who we see, like, appear in the background every once in a while, but they never really interact with him. And during one of the many, many montages, the three of them are having human interactions, like humans do. And during,
it's one of
you
your
know,
favorite
one of
subjects.
Oh yes, human things. Mm-hmm. I love them.
Eating food through your mouth and not the neck flaps that you don't have.
We're flying.
Yeah, it's true.
We're flying pretty close to the sun here, boys. I don't know.
I enjoy the fact that I don't have independent organs for absorbing nutrients and for producing speech. Yep.
I call them real normal. I call them face buttholes. Yeah.
Anyway. During
it's like
these
new
human...
speak for mouth is just reverse butthole.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
during all these interactions, there's like some phone calls, like voiceover phone calls, but the voices are all masked and muffled, and the conversation is like,
"You need to stop this. You can't take her with you like this. It's against the rules. You have to stop." And then the responding voice is like, "I do what I please. I'm just doing my job." You know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Anyway, there's like a series of these conversations over all of these montages. But I didn't think them through too well. But it's clear that there's some kind of transgression of rules. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Charlotte begins to treat Lisa and Mickey more and more like her own kin. They all grow very close over the course of the movie. Mickey is very, very protective of Lisa. Mickey is also constantly talking about how he's met Robert before, but doesn't know who he is or what he is, but knows that it's bad news for them.
Uh-huh. All right,
so I need you fellas to not interrupt for a second.
Hard.
Yeah, okay. I know. So, eventually, Robert catches up with the trio again and demands that they turn her over and leave her alone. Stop the farce, Lisa. Lisa begins laughing and says, "Fine." Mickey disappears, and he, like, winks at Charlotte as he disappears into nothingness. So, like, Lisa projected Mickey because she knew that Charlotte would be charmed by his roguish character. And Lisa took the form of a child because she knew that Charlotte is a sucker for hard luck cases.
Mm.
And so you can see through the seams in Robert's human suit at this point. they start to fray. And he explains that Lisa is a high-ranking demon and that the demons were there to, like, cut in line and cut out Charlotte's angel heart before her time and corrupt her towards service of the higher evil power, you know, the devil or whatever.
Sure.
Like probably my favorite demon, Belphegor, the demon of inventiveness. Or...
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, I named all of the hard drives that I used to back up my dissertation as different demons. So, like, yeah. Belphegor Prime was my main dissertation. I had Satanus, the demon of wrath, as my backup. this computer that I'm on right now is Leviathan. You know, all sorts of stuff.
Anyway. Well, those are long names, which is traditionally frowned upon. But creativity-wise, love it. Love it.
Yeah, it's very important for me.
Yes.
Anyway, Charlotte is confused and scared, of course, and Robert and Lisa have a claymation, like, what angels are depicted in the Bible sort of fight. It's, like, scary and confusing, and it's a flaming wheel with a thousand...
Oh, with, like, a billion eyes and, like, tons of wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's real scary.
Yeah.
So they have a scary Bible fight, and all of this is too much for Charlotte, and she dies of shock having seen an actual angel, or an angel analog in this situation.
Yeah.
She wakes up eventually, and Robert tells her that she wasn't corrupted, that, you know, she was a good person, and that she was fine, and after banishing Lisa, Robert pulled a few strings to keep her there on Earth for a little while longer. And then he sort of fades away, like none of these things sort of happen. And all she has is memories, but no physical evidence, and that's the end of the movie, that she might just be insane.
Okay. It's not exact, but I'm going to give Lee the win on our side bet. Yeah. It's close enough, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's lame.
I mean,
I really liked it.
The word angel sort of... No, it's very good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's... the word angel kind of goes in a certain direction, obviously. Like, it's necessarily a certain thing. Yeah.
I mean, it could be an angel, apparently, or whatever the...
It sounds like it could have been, yes. Yeah.
So I basically made this movie, then.
No, similar thematic elements, I would say, and, like, things not being what they seem and whatnot.
Is a little child actually the evil one?
No, well, I'll leave it up to Lee, to explain that part, but there is an the evil one, let's say, yeah.
So Seth, do you want to hear the
Seamless!
Actual... Yes, indeed. Oh, man, so many transitions.
Yeah, I do want to hear the real movie. What's the real movie that I apparently made almost verbatim?
So I, well, okay, I don't know about
thematic,
verbatim,
not verbatim, but like, you were... You were close on many elements, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really lame. Why does somebody have the same creative process as me? That's
in fact, lame. Two people, because it's based on a novel. But
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I was going to pitch Zach that we give him the, like, the slightly longer synopsis before the IMDb, just because I wanted to do the reveal, but I don't think we need to now that Seth kind of nailed it.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have the IMDb pulled up?
I sure don't. Sorry.
Oh, cool. No,
I do. I'll just read it.
Yeah. Do all the things.
Yeah, I was trying to give you something to do.
That's fine.
Just, aw. Yeah, I just
sit here and look like an asshole. Sound like an asshole? I don't know.
Well, I guess, like, since you're not talking, no one will hear you being an asshole, so that's good.
Perfect.
Okay, Seth. Angel Heart, which, 1987.
Okay, that's about what I expected.
A private investigator is hired by a man who calls himself Louis Cipher to track down a singer named Johnny Favorite. But the investigation takes an unexpected and somber turn. I don't know that somber is the word I would use.
They left out that Louis Cipher lives in the Matrix. That should be clear. We should make that clear.
Oh, that's fun. Is he eating the rarest steak possible?
You mean a very delicious-looking steak? Perhaps.
Yeah. I like my steaks blue.
So, Seth, I want you just, while I'm giving you this slightly longer synopsis, I want you to just meditate on the name Louis Cipher.
Yeah. Yeah.
is this some Neil Gaiman shit again?
It might as well be. Yeah.
Yeah. Is this just Good Omens except somehow worse?
Ooh, that's a hot take right there.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. So movie is set like late 40s, early 50s. Mickey Rourke is a New York. It's a noir. It's a neo-noir movie.
Well, they were trying for noir.
Maybe succeeding
at times. Mickey Rourke is a private eye. His name is Harry Angel.
Dick Tracy.
Yeah,
they do say private dick quite a bit.
And he uses that private dick quite a bit in this movie as
God.
Well.
To great effect, or maybe terrible effect. I don't know. Yeah,
is he Let a me, Hellcat and angel? Is he just like an angel that's fucking around on Earth? Is he a fallen angel or like an angel in training? Or
now really. Lee definitely wins the side bet.
Yeah. So okay, he's a private eye.
Asked and answered. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, he's a private eye named Harry Angel.
Stupid goddamn name.
Yeah, he gets contracted by De Niro, who plays Louis Cipher, to go find this crooner who disappeared not long after he served during World War II, named Johnny Favorite.
Oh my God.
And Johnny Favorite had a contract with Louis Cipher, and he's like, it wasn't fulfilled, I want to find it. Anyway, he goes to a home for like shell-shocked veterans where this guy is supposed to be.
Is it run by a guy named Loki Lysmith?
It is not, in fact, run by Loki Lysmith.
God damn it.
Harry.
Stupid fucking shit.
Harry finds like a semi-conspiracy about this guy getting transferred out. He finds out the dude had a bunch of facial reconstructive surgery, so that's why he's so hard to find.
Ooh, funny.
The doctor who worked with him ends up dead, and like he's like, I don't want this case anymore. I don't want to be a murder suspect. So they make him an offer he can't refuse. He goes down to New Orleans. Because it turns out this singer, his like last known associates were a boardwalk gypsy woman and a jazz guitar player or blues guitar player who are now in New Orleans.
That's the face. That's the right face.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes down there and he meets with both of these people and gets more information about Johnny Favorite. Both of them end up dead. Everybody who ends up dead in this movie is murdered with something that Mickey Rourke touches earlier in the movie. So, like, that's a big clue, I think, for you.
And when you say everyone that's murdered, you mean everyone.
Every character that's not Mickey Rourke or the weird fat cops that show up later.
Because
there's fat New Orleans cops in this movie, and they dab their foreheads with handkerchiefs a lot.
Yeah, they sure do.
Oh, my.
Oh, I do declare.
Heavens.
accents.
Charlotte what? Rampling.
Okay, that's a different accent.
But, would you have preferred me to order up some buttermilk?
Oh, no. Actively, no.
Charlotte Rampling plays the gypsy fortune teller. She's actually like a rich debutante from New Orleans. And anyway, he also runs into Lisa Bonet, who is supposed to be the daughter of a woman that the guy he's looking for had an affair with.
In 87, Lisa Bonet should be right at the beginning of The Cosby Show, right? Right in the middle of The Cosby Show?
You mentioned this because she got fired from The Cosby Show because of this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Because she does a very graphic sex scene with Mickey Rourke.
Boy, does she. More on that later. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that'll lead to my two-word summary, that graphic sex scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it ew gross?
No, not that, but...
Okay.
So
I want to watch this movie.
It also turns out that Lisa Bonet, just like her mother, is a voodoo priestess, so there's a lot of voodoo in this movie. There's a sequence where Lisa Bonet set this fanning himself with an enormous fan right out
You're
of
really,
the Mercado, for
really
Christ's
setting
sake.
The scene for Louisiana here. Yeah.
God damn, two little girls from school right
something,
there on my screen.
Zatarans. Yep, there we go.
there's actually a pretty long voodoo ritual scene where we see Lisa Bonet slaughter a chicken and just writhe around in the mud with covered in chicken blood. Yeah, it's a whole
Christ.
Thing.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Also, Mickey Rourke keeps saying that he's got a thing about chickens. He's like weirded out by chickens, so he's always being confronted by chickens and eggs in this movie for some. It's weird. Yeah.
Does he ever explain that?
I don't think so.
Why does he... Okay.
We'll talk about the egg scene later, and I think the explanation is kind of peppered into that.
Okay.
Or salted, as it were.
Yeah.
So there was this game that I used to play in high school with my friends because there was a Hobby Lobby near us, and...
Oh, no.
Rich white people love chicken-themed, like, home decor. So we would play
I
the chicken game.
Very
we...
close to somebody who has a lot, actually two people with a lot of chicken themed home decor.
Yeah, well, rich white people maybe.
Yeah.
Let's say middle class.
Okay, well, whatever. We would just go to Hobby Lobby and play the chicken game, and like whoever could score the most points yelling out chicken and pointing to a thing that had a chicken on it first. You know.
High school was very different in generic flyover state.
Well, was it?
I mean, I never did that. I don't know.
That
wasn't really what we did either.
Yeah.
Drinking and I don't know whatever else. We had the chicken game and staring at cornfields.
Yeah. Man, I got sorry for interrupting my synopsis here after Seth already did. God. I can't stop burping, and I ate like 8 spoonfuls of horseradish this afternoon, so it's all horseradish. Oh God.
Spicy boy.
So tingly.
Oof-a-doof. Mm-hmm.
That was what I had for lunch today. I just had spoonfuls of horseradish. But
Jesus
nutritionally
Christ,
rich.
Mary and Joseph.
No, the other thing.
No.
No, it's definitely not.
Okay, so as Mickey Rourke is further untangling this mystery, he ends up meeting up with the father of Charlotte Rampling's character, who gives him the biggest exposition dump in the history of film, I think.
Yeah,
really?
Where he explains that his daughter dated Johnny Favorite, the guy he's looking for, and they kidnapped a soldier on VE Day and sacrificed him to the devil, cut out his heart, and Johnny ate the heart to take the guy's soul so the devil couldn't find him because Johnny had previously sold his soul to the devil to be famous.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and, who hasn't done that? I did that. It just didn't work.
And then that dude gets drowned.
Devil. Hey,
you bitch.
It didn't take. Again.
Yeah. I sacrificed a whole dude's soul, and all I got was this shitty podcast.
That heart tasted like shit. What do I get?
But Seth, so the guy that gives all that exposition is then immediately drowned in a giant vat of gumbo.
That sounds like the most delicious gumbo. I mean, that sounds horrible.
fat guy face gumbo, not the best gumbo. I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I do like a good filet added to my gumbo to add some thickness. Mm. You want some gumbo file?
Sure.
Gumbo. It's real good.
Sure.
I have some gumbo file here. I'll bring it up when I at the wedding.
Yeah.
Gumbo, okay. Gumbo.
We can make friend of the show Jerry eat it. He fucking hates gumbo. Like, is philosophically opposed to gumbo. Yeah, it's very fun.
That doesn't make any sense.
Eh. His argument is he's never had, like, an actually good one, which when I thought about it, I was like, I might also fall into that category.
I mean, like, he was in New Orleans recently. He could have.
I think he did try, and he was like, nah, even this one kind of sucks. I might be wrong.
Nah, so maybe I'm going to make a gumbo in my hotel room. In the bathtub gumbo, and I'm gonna bring up some filet. I'm gonna make my own filet. It's gonna be great.
Love it. Let's do it.
Terrific. So anyway, this movie, it then ends with Mickey Rourke realizing that he is also Johnny Favorite and Harry Angel, because the soldier that they sacrificed name was Harry Angel. And then Robert De Niro shows back up and reveals himself as Lucifer, Louis Cipher. And he's like,
I want to die.
Yeah, yep. He's like, oh, Harry, I got you. I finally found you. I got you. You know, I got you to admit it. Everybody you talk to is dead. Then he goes back to his hotel room. And Lisa Bonet is also...
Make some gumbo!
No, not really, because Lisa Bonet is also dead there, and it turns out she was his daughter, and he had sex with her, and he murdered her by putting his gun in her vagina and shooting her.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
A little dark.
And then her child, who was like a toddler, is also in the room, and also fat New Orleans cops. Yes. And... then over the credits, it's just a scene of a shadowy Mickey Rourke just in an unending elevator going down. And right as the credits end, the elevator door opens and you hear a whisper go, Harry, Johnny. And that's the end of the movie. So, like, I guess he's in hell?
It's very important to note as well, like, all of the important bits, the reveal and all that, like, when Lee said, like, 5 minutes ago that he talks to the father and he... exposits all of this stuff that all happens in the last like 15 minutes. It's just all like blasting it out. Yeah.
And the thing is, so like
pulling a real NXNW there with the ending.
Yeah. Very much. Yeah, so. For yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
This is maybe the third or fourth time I've seen this movie. And I don't know if it's just because I've seen it a few times, but it was all so very obvious this time through. Like all of the clues didn't feel like clues. They were very hand-holdy, I thought.
I don't like that.
So this is my first time watching this movie. I got that he was the dude, like, halfway through. I didn't get all the, like, everybody was dead because of him. But maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
So, Zach, I know we do this rather infrequently. Do you have a several-word summary at all?
I don't for this one. Yeah. No, you said you had a two-word summary, so
I
go
do.
For it. Yeah.
And this has to do with how fucking raunchy this movie is.
Oh,
this
right. Movie, oh, yes.
This movie is buttermilk raunch.
I think you had watched this before me. You said it was very raunchy, or you said it was like pretty nasty, and I was like, would you say it's raunchy? And you said... buttermilk ranch, and I said side of buttermilk ranch or something, and you were like, nah, full on ranch.
Yeah. It's the Parmesan peppercorn of movies.
Oh,
of movie
the
ranch.
Deepest
yeah.
ranch. Yeah.
Oh, so thick and creamy. Fuck. So okay.
Describe my face.
Displeased. Wildly displeased.
Yeah, you're not happy about this. I guess What's the first thing we should fucking talk about with this movie?
I have one. So I was gonna say I really like, we've touched on this a bit. I really like both versions of Mickey Rourke. Like the new one is not as bad as everybody thinks it is, but the schlubby, likable, overly New York City stereotype Mickey is very much the favorite. over
the Johnny favorite.
Yeah, well, turns out. The other one I was calling Stoic Franken Rourke, I believe, would be the technical term for it. Yeah, oh, he does good. Better that's when he tries thing. To act. Like, in all of his recent stuff, he just, like, stands there and looks tough, which is not... Like, he did so well at acting. Why did he stop acting?
But his Iron Man 2 character.
He says, like, four words the whole fucking movie. Like,
apparently, it was a much more complex role, and they cut most of it.
Oh, really? For Iron Man 2? Mm-hmm. They played Whiplash?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Ivan Vanko? Yes.
Yeah, that's his name. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I feel like I have to say, I mean, we're kind of trashing on this movie. Until at least the like, dash to the finish line. I actually think this is a pretty good movie. Like,
really?
Yeah.
It looks really good. There's a lot of weird, interesting things that happen.
Is there a claymation battle between a demon and an angel?
There is not, unfortunately.
It wouldn't have necessarily been out of place in the actual movie, to be fair. Like, they could have thrown one in, and they have a lot of montages of voodoo and shit, so, like, why not claymation? Sure.
Man, guys, I was really hoping that it was going to be just, like, some kind of, like, stupid... you know, philanthropic movie, and then I was doing something interesting, like, it was just gonna be about, be kind to your fellow person, or whatever. And then my version was gonna be all subverting that, and it turns out that I'm just a hack.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't know about that.
That's overly critical. Yeah,
you just tapped into, like, you know, something true about the human condition. Yeah. Everybody... has a heart of an angel and is being chased by shape-shifting demons at all times.
Oh, that's true. That is the human condition.
How can we know that that's not happening to all of us right now? Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. I agree. That is the most human thing that I can think of.
I think the first thing I want to talk about, and this is just so we don't forget, is the egg scene.
I was hoping that was it. Yep.
Okay.
Go on.
So there's a scene very, like, kind of middle-ish in the movie where Mickey Rourke meets up with Robert De Niro, who when he introduces himself, Mickey Rourke is insisting on pronouncing his name Louis Cyphiere, and then De Niro keeps going, no, it's Louis Cypher. Like, they...
Might as well look right down the barrel. Like, it's too much. Yeah.
He does in the final scene of the movie?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's fun. I do like things right down the barrel, though. Sure. That's established.
The second to last scene of the movie, when Mickey Rourke finally comes to terms with what's going on, De Niro is sitting there. Also, you were right. He's in, like, a very well done, like, 3-piece suit with a crazy fucking cane and long hair and a beard. And,
yeah, that's coming off of, like, Mikhail Bulgakov, like, with the Master and Margarita sort of situation. Like,
oh, okay.
Voland, the guy who is representative of the devil, is, like, a very, very dapper, like, gentleman the entire time. So, like, that's a well-established trope from Russian literature.
It is much like that. Yeah. But in that second-to-last scene, he's sitting there, and he goes, "Don't you get it? I'm Louis Cypher. Lucifer? Do you want me to have cloven hooves and a tail?"
Yeah.
Like, that he literally says that at the camera.
Like, it's not clear why he didn't get it, to be fair. Like, it is fucking right there. Like, it's dumb. Yeah.
Long, but anyway, audible sigh.
Yep.
The egg scene. So, Mickey Rourke's about to give up the case, and then, you know, De Niro convinces him to continue on. And while this is happening, he's just cracking a hard-boiled egg. And it's just close-ups on his hand as he's doing this, and his fingernails are super long and pointy.
Gross. Don't like it.
And he's using his nails to, like, open the egg and peel it.
De Niro, like, one of the most revered actors of our time, looked fucking uncomfortable. He was just like, "God, this is awful."
Yeah. And then he picks up the egg and covers it in more salt than fucking a Roman soldier was paid in.
Good reference.
A lifetime salary of salt,
which is where the word salary comes from.
I know,
This sure is. This is Entomology Corner.
And then he blows it off at Mickey Rourke and just eats the fucking egg. Oh my god. Yeah. It was just
The only other note I have about that is he maintains eye contact the whole time. He never looks down at the egg in any way. He just is always looking at Mickey and like, I mean, it's like a multicam thing, so it's just kind of not directly down the barrel, but like pretty close. And
yeah, but is it ever explained why he dislikes chicken and chicken offspring?
I think there's kind of a clue in this scene, because while he's opening the egg, De Niro gives us like a little discussion about, you know, some cultures talk about the egg being representative of the soul, yeah. And Mickey Rourke's whole character is like someone who is trying to shed his soul and hide with someone else's, and like,
right, makes sense.
I think that is like the least handheldy thing that happens in the movie, and it was the one that could have used the most explanation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair. Well, I mean, to be fair, like you mentioned on a subsequent watch, and they drop a lot of clues, so I don't fault them for not like really laying it on even more thick than they already did, to be fair.
Zach, I sent you that bit of trivia that I found about the names. Do you have it there? If you do, can you just read it directly so I don't screw it up?
Oh, I don't think I do. No, sorry.
God damn, why do you... What are you doing to me?
What even is my job? Sorry. Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about something while I look for it.
So. All right. Well, so I was going to say the cinematography is very good. And you mentioned as well, this is a very good-looking movie. I first clued into this on the beach scene. There's a scene where he's like early in the movie.
That scene looks fantastic.
Oh god, it's so nice. Yeah,
what is this beach scene?
He goes out to the beach. He's still looking for Johnny What's His Butts, and it goes out and it's like a wide shot of just him and this guy in a beach chair and like tons of landscape on the outside. And then it's a lot of shots of his wife, who is in the ocean to cure her varicose veins, apparently. And she's, like, looking over her shoulder, shouting stuff about Johnny Holiday or whatever.
Johnny Favorite.
Favorite, yeah. The cinematography was, like, really good. And I say this, I mean, it was, like, the late 80s, so it's not terrible. But we watched a bunch of 90s movies recently that looked like fucking garbage. And, like,
yeah,
I was,
that's true.
Yeah, I was impressed by, like, how sort of composed
everything
was. Like
the last episode, for instance?
It's been a while.
Reality Bites?
Well, I think Seth is referring to the more recent episode that we haven't recorded yet.
Yeah, Reality Bites.
Yeah, that fuck nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording out of order. So.
Just
I was trying to be coy and referring to things.
Yeah, well done.
Referring
well done.
Back, but
well, you know that I'm incapable of subtlety. So
yeah, well, aren't we all?
Yeah, but it is really good. There was actually a production note where the number of filming locations was like 78 in this movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was filmed almost entirely in New York City and Louisiana. So, like, you didn't need 80 filming locations. That's, like,
did
way too
they
many.
Go to that Coppola offspring's tomb?
No, they did not, in fact.
This was much before he bought the tomb, as I understand.
Although there is a very, like, Louisiana-style funeral procession happening in the movie,
yes.
But it happens in New York, so I'm confusing. Yeah,
yeah, it's true. But yeah, I guess filming this was, like, a fucking nightmare, because he was like, no, it must all be authentic, and so we're going to film on location at every possible location.
Who's the director?
Yeah. Alan Parker. Actually,
Alan Parsons?
What? No, not Alan Parsons.
Almost. Almost.
No, he has two Best Director nominations for Mississippi Burning and Midnight Express.
Okay.
But he also made Evita and Fame, a couple other movies. Yeah.
Yep.
He made a movie called Birdie with that said Coppola offspring in it.
Bye, bye, Birdie!
No, Anne Margaret, not that.
Holy fuck. If there's a Bye Bye Birdie with Nick Cage in it, I just can't even.
I mean, maybe when he was in middle school or something. He would make a good Conrad Birdie, though.
Yeah, like, I think he would.
I bet he would be great at it if it was current Nick Cage with a bunch of people in their teenage years. It would be super weird.
It's like you know everything that I like, Lee. God damn it.
I bring up that movie Birdie because when the director Alan Parker, I forget the producer's name, but they were a director producer team.
Okay.
They called De Niro initially to play the part that Mickey Rourke played.
Yeah.
And De Niro said, "Aren't you the guy who produced Birdie?" And when he said, "Yes, I am," De Niro hung up the phone on him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fun.
So I don't know what changed and made him decide, yeah, I want to play the devil. But
yeah. Hmm. So I read a bit about this. Yeah, they tapped him for Mickey Rourke's character. They also tapped Jack Nicholson for Mickey Rourke's character. And
which
Nicholson,
is way too weird.
Yeah,
way too,
he had way a too similar old. Reaction. Like, they had a meeting and he read the script and just showed up and was like, not even close. Close, like, no way, I'm not fucking doing this. And then Mickey Rourke actually really wanted it. I think he approached them, as I understand
it. He petitioned very hard to get this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
I found that bit of also when they were approaching De Niro to do the Mickey Rourke character, they were approaching Brando to play Louis Cipher.
Holy fucking shit! In 1987.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's not exactly what was that fucking nightmare movie where
you're thinking of the Island of Dr. Moreau.
That's the one. Where the director ran into the jungle. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then became an extra in his own movie a bunch. Yeah.
And Brando was like half brain dead. They had to like prop him up and shit. Yeah, that was a fucking nightmare.
I found that bit of trivia that I was talking about as far as like here's another clue in the movie. For all you German speakers out there.
Sure.
So Johnny Favorite, the guy he's looking for, who is him, that's his stage name, obviously. The character's real name is Johnny Liebling. And according to IMDb, at least, Liebling is a commonly used German word for sweetheart, darling, or angel. But it has a second meaning, which is favorite. Mm-hmm. So his name is literally both names that he uses in the movie.
Yeah, it's like, why bother? Does that matter? I don't, like...
It's like, well, it's like if you speak Norwegian and watch the movie The Thing, the whole movie is spoiled in the first scene.
You mentioned that.
I have heard that.
That's true. The guy is just like, there's a fucking alien!
Kill this dog, it's a fucking alien! Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense with Liebe. Liebe meaning love and that sort of thing, yeah.
Sure.
Hmm.
So, Lee, you mentioned, I guess we both have a bunch of production notes. Do you want to do yours, and then I'll do any that I have that are not yours?
I mean, I more or less talked about all mine, so.
Oh, okay. I have a bunch then. There were 78 filming locations, which is a fuckload. I read that in the edit, the director again felt very passionate about this. I don't know what Seth's doing. The director, we discussed this a bit, Lee. This felt again like a director thought, like, this is my Dances with Wolves, and everyone will love me for the, like, as long as time is long. Like, it's gonna be
which
amazing.
Is crazy because this guy was already a respected fucking director.
Yeah, like, so unclear. He was like being a real sort of. Overprotective asshole about everything. So in the edit, they had 1,100 shots, which feels like a shitload. Yeah. And it specifically said on 400,000 feet of actual film. Like, can you imagine 400? How many miles that is?
this is under in this movie is under 2 hours long as well. So
yes, yeah. So he did a bunch of cuts, obviously, and made his masterpiece. Then...
I did read that he was mad about... He had to cut, like, 20 seconds of a sex scene to keep the rating down to an R, because they were going to rate it X.
So that was the thing. The MPAA rated it X initially, and I came back, his production company was like, we don't release X-rated movies, they don't make any money, like, why would we even do this? And so he was real pissed off about having to cut anything. He apparently made between 60 and 80 cuts, totaling exactly 10 seconds of cuts.
Oh my God.
60 to 80. I don't even fucking understand. Yeah.
Wept.
In a 2 minute span of the, what did we eventually find out is the rape daughter scene, which is really fucking rough. But like, at the time, it like it's just a sex scene. It's not all that bad at the time. Mm-hmm. And then the MPAA said, like, fine, you get an R rating, which to me corroborates the claim that the MPAA is, like, total bullshit. Like, he cut 10 seconds out of, like, I don't know, thrusting. And
that
like,
makes
cool.
it acceptable, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, the subject matter was still as it were. Like, he raped and murdered his daughter in a very horrific way. Like, but they're like,
yeah,
that's
indeed.
Fine. We just don't want to see butts. Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah, it was mostly Rourke butt, too.
It so. Was. It was, yeah.
No, yeah, you guys did mention that this was a taint-heavy film.
I mean, yeah.
I think we get a Shadow of the Colossus, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. I like that.
Ooh, I like that term. I'm going to use it now.
Yeah.
I think one other thing I want, so this movie cost $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
It made $17 million.
Yep.
So, you know.
Yeah, not great.
Fine.
Not great.
Yeah.
The only other thing I had was this is shoehorned into the horror genre quite a bit. And I would not call this a horror movie.
I totally get that. I mean, it's a supernatural noir-y crime movie.
Yeah, see, that makes me think like thriller. I guess maybe like, back then that counted as horror, but like
well,
with the
Devil's
horror we
Advocate,
have today,
that sort of thing, or the Sixth yeah. Day. That
I think it feels like whatever version of a thriller that people classify Seven as, I think this would fit into that category pretty mm-hmm. well.
A little more.
I think you know, there's the fantasy elements of like. The literal devil being in it, and I think that's how you get into the horror genre. But yeah,
there's a lot of suspense and a lot of. I mean, there's the big twist as we discussed and whatever. But like, yeah, I'd say more like thriller, honestly. But you're right. Like Seven is a sort of comparable movie.
Ooh,
albeit
speaking,
10 years later.
Speaking of thriller, in the last shot of the movie, they do a zoom in on the face of what we have just learned is his grandson. And his eyes turn yellow like Michael Jackson's at the end of the Thriller video.
And it was 87, so like, close
enough.
Really
shitty.
Yeah. But yeah, so this movie makes like top horror or top cult horror, top 10 lists all the time.
What website, some website named it like the 22nd best horror movie ever.
It was, I think Wired made it like the 8th best horror movie of all time, which is fucking Jesus. Crazy. Like that is not even close. No way. But yeah. All right. Well, let's, you want to do the thing?
Yeah. I mean, this ain't. Angel Heart, I mean, it has clearly developed like a cult kind of following over the years.
Sure. I guess, yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm.
Well, you said you've seen it like 4 times, so that's
Me and my partner are both kind of into Mickey Rourke, so that's mostly why.
Can't fault you for that.
Sure,
that's a whole different.
I just want to pile Italian meats and cheeses into my mouth instead of making a sandwich.
Oh, are you kidding me? Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Oof.
Oof.
Oof, bub, oof.
What are we talking about? What the fuck just happened? Anyway.
I was making a reference to the Prince of New England or whatever that movie is.
Oh, the Pope of Greenwich Village.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That is the other one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were both good Rourke, which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Iron Man
so
2.
I have
someday.
I have never seen this movie sober, so this might color my opinion of it.
Oftentimes, yes.
color your world. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Seth, the
just like Chicago.
The IMDb All right. The IMDb rating of this movie is a 7.3,
yeah,
and that's on
pretty high.
70,000 votes.
Holy shit, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I think this movie is more loved than we realize, maybe.
Certainly, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 6.5. I think it's...
Okay.
I think it's an actual, very well-put-together, like, neo-noir kind of movie.
Yeah.
Until the end.
Yeah.
The ending just is such a obvious. To me, it's so obvious. And then to just like treated as a twist kind of ruins it a little for me. If there was a way to do this story where it's a little more drawn out, like where the it leaks out and kind of seeps into the story a little differently,
yep,
I would.
It's very gross. It's very gross sounding.
Well, as if buttermilk would through like the cracks in your marble countertop. So porous.
So it could go rancid?
Yeah.
I prefer my ranch on the side.
Yeah.
you're not from the Midwest. Get out of here. We just put ranch on everything.
Yeah, Midwest flyover is double ranch.
But I think, yeah, I think this movie would be far better served to kind of like dole out the twist as opposed to dropping it all at once. I don't know. But either way, I think 6.5, I think, is what I would give it. It's totally enjoyable. As of recording, it's definitely available on Hulu. I think it's available on Prime too. Really easy to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's honestly pretty good. I mean, we kind of ruined it, but like it's still fun. Yeah.
And there are at least two supremely sexy people in it. So like you can watch something good all day.
Wait, we're talking about Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro, right? Or
oh yeah, obviously. Okay. Yeah. anyway. Oh, I forgot to mention this.
Hair
they keep making references to like how Johnny Favorite had facial reconstruction after the war.
Oh, right on, yeah.
I'm pretty sure during those conversations, there's a lot of close-ups on Mickey Rourke where you can see tiny little like scars on his face. Did you notice that too, Zach?
You had mentioned it, and I looked for it. I noticed like a smidge of it, but I wasn't clear on whether it was just like his actual face or it was like makeup and thus intentional. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Seams in his human suit.
Well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of seams in human suits, Seth's movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, Seth, I gotta say, I think you made a better version of Angel Heart. I think you made the same movie, but so much better. I mean, we got the angel fights. Let me ask you something. Mm. Was it, when you picture the angel fight, is it Rankin and Bass or is it Ray Harryhausen?
Oh, second.
Oh, my.
Oh, see, if it was Rankin and Bass.
I don't know who the second person is. I just assumed. I didn't want to do a heat miser versus cold miser. Which is my only reference for Rankin and Bass, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, you nailed it. No, Harryhausen's the one who did, like, the stop motion in Jason and the Argonauts.
It's not great.
Mm. Well, anyway, I really enjoyed your crazy bullshit. I love the idea of light coming out of the human suit. That is just so exactly my shit.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna give you a 7.5.
Oh, great.
Yeah, full point higher.
Okay. All right. Not bad.
Sorry, Zach, what you got for me?
Yeah, so I'm going to go a little lower on...
Oh, fuck you, Lee.
Hold on. I was going to go a little lower, now I'm going to drive to the place that Lee's at and strangle him to death.
You can pick me up on the way.
Yeah, all right. Dual strangling. Good old strangling and apostrophe.
It's the only way I know how to spell it.
OG, I'm going to go a bit lower. I'm going to go like a 5.8. I think you're not wrong. Like it has good elements, certainly. I will say like the reveal was like semi surprising. You can kind of see like the devil parts and whatnot, but the like he's the guy was like, oh, I didn't really see that coming. I agree, despite the low rating, it's like worth watching.
Do you think that me just endlessly spoiling it for you might have colored that a little?
I mean, let's say probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I full on told you what the whole movie was about before you watched it. Yeah.
But again, which goes with my cinematography bit earlier, like, I mean, I mostly don't like movies before, like, 1980, but, like, even the 80s are kind of rough, and this movie looked surprisingly good, and, like...
No, it looks very good. Yeah. I think what you're used to is just seeing weird comedies from the 80s, which were, like, really cheap.
Yeah. That's probably it, yeah. But, like, the pacing was good. excuse me. The pacing was very good. The acting was very good. Gross. it held up very well, I will say. Seth's, I think, again, like, very sort of similar tropes, similar themes, just kind of cast, like, you just spun the actor wheel and they landed on different spots. but yeah, like, I liked yours quite a bit. I'll go like a 6.8 for you, I think.
Okay. Not a 6.9, but okay.
Almost fine. Nice.
Well,
almost
we're getting nice. There. We're at 60 dicks, so we'll see what happens in a couple episodes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sliding across that river dicks. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Charon says.
Real quick pause here. Seth, are those oranges or onions on your bed?
Those are tangelos.
Okay, so none of the above. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tangelos. It's more orange-like than onions.
I was going to say, famously, a cross between onions and oranges. They taste horrible.
We should make those.
No one likes that. No. They are useless.
I wanted. I set out to make an easier to peel orange, and what I determined was onion skin is the easiest to peel.
Not wrong, I guess. Yeah.
So I bred together a savory orange, and it produced
and a sweet onion.
Sweet onion.
Dear God.
And it made a tangelo, I guess.
Sure. Why not? All right. Yeah, so next week, Seth
wins.
Next week we got Lee with Altered States.
Yep.
I'm not looking forward.
Yeah, I have also not seen this. I looked it up. It looks like something, I would say.
If you guys want my Filmstruck password, it's on there. You can.
Okay.
I can give that to you.
Do you want to just read it out for the audience? Or?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give everyone my Filmstruck. It won't make a difference. There'll only be four people trying to use it. Like, fuck.
I mean, we all know it's 69 Dirty Boy 69. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Come on. Get out of here.
That is my name on my calorie counting app. So.
Oh, shit, it is. Did I just Pavlov that? That's amazing.
You just beautiful minded your way to giving away my username on a calorie counting app.
Holy shit.
Hear that, Jill St. Right. John? Yeah.
Well,
I'm looking after that waistline. Yeah.
Yeah, good luck typing an umlaut over the U in dirty. I mean.
Yeah, oh, so if Liz 2 and Jill St. John want to friend me on there, for it.
Let's hope.
Doxed.
All right, well, I guess that'll do it.
Sure. I have no idea how to end this one.
We'll meet you all in Dexter Jexter's shitty... whatever.
couldn't even finish it. Nope.
No, that was so good. That was such a good cut. I loved it.